Hallelujah, Lord. We come from different areas, Lord, and different situations this week, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And you have brought us here together here today in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this place, Lord. I thank you how you've prepared our hearts and our minds, Lord, for what you're going to do in this place here today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 He is worthy to be praised. David made a way to worship by removing his linen ephod in spite of being looked at by his wife having a critical spirit. There was a woman with an issue of blood that was sick in body for 12 years and made a way through a crowd in the presence of her healer and made a way to touch the hem of his garment. In Luke 7, 37 and 38 says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. She made a way through a room full of critical men and only cared what her Savior or what her healer thought of her at that time. God has done what has seemed impossible in your life and in my life over and over again. And it's only appropriate for me to give him all the praise and the glory and the honor. It doesn't matter who is here and who isn't here, who's going to worship him and who's not going to worship him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Psalms 33:1, it says, "Rejoice in the land, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." It doesn't matter what side of the wall that I'm backed up against on the Red Sea, he was able to deliver his people and it was followed by a tambourine. In Jesus' name, I'm going to praise him for my healing. I'm going to praise him for deliverance. I'm going to praise him for my restoration. It doesn't matter what side of that restoration or healing. If he hasn't healed me yet, I'm still going to praise him. He has healed me, and I will praise him because I'll remember the time that he healed my body. In Jesus' name, because he has, he is, and he will. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together.
Heaven's God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you'd like.
Calling, oh, come to the altar.
Like God leading you to step out in faith by doing something here this morning, just follow the leading of God.
Thank you.
Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to shame you in any way in Jesus' name. Brother Mike, will you pray for the honor? Amen.
Defeated one, my life and my salvation. nation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes came upon me, the heat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Almighty Defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough, you are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you, break through. The walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I break through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the undefeated one. My life and my salvation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes came upon me, the heat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Omnipotent, almighty defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough.
Worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift. my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the
breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the
breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul,
breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All over this house, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? We love you, Jesus. You are the God of the breakthrough, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing in a secular sense when someone achieves something greater than the person before, they say that individual broke the record. That individual maybe broke the glass ceiling that was in their life. There's a symbology, if you will, of overcoming and achieving by being able to break through. I'm thankful I serve the God of the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something better that awaits. There's something better that awaits on the other side. And Lord, I need your help to break through, God. To find what you would have me have in my life. Hallelujah. Can you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Can you put your hands together? How we love you, Lord. How we worship you. How we praise you. How we thank you, God. You are the God of the breakthrough. If you need a breakthrough in your life, I give you Jesus. I give you the one who can empower you, give you the ability to break through.
find the success that you need in life. I'm not talking about financial freedom. I'm talking about the spiritual success you need in your life to be an overcomer. It's found only in one place. It's in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Davis, for teaching this morning's lesson on the goodness of God. There's another reason I didn't even really share this with him, but there's another reason why I asked him to speak on Sunday morning, not because it's just good to hear his voice, good to hear an elder, and I don't mean that in any disrespect, but an elder to speak to us. Many of you know he pastored this church for some 38 years. Before, 6 years ago on this weekend, my family and I took pastor to this assembly. And on that morning, I can tell you what I preached. To walk even as he walked. Preaching that service, actually I believe it was that evening service, and the Davis preached on the morning time, so it was kind of one of those things, a little bit sentimental, if you will, but 6 years later, he's here. I'm here. God's still here. Thank you, Jesus. Can we applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. I do want to remind you that there is no PM activity here at the church. We do realize it is Labor Day weekend. A lot of times we have what we call miscellaneous events, but we will forego those this evening and encourage you to spend time with family and friends, celebrate Labor Day weekend. No PM activity here at the church. Looking forward to next Sunday, Brother Paul Volan, son-in-law, brother and sister Davis, married to, as you all know her, Sherry, is going to be here in service with us. He'll be speaking in both the services on Sunday morning, so we're looking forward to that. We will both, men and women, conclude our split sessions next Sunday night. It'll be the final that we have for a period of time where we're separate in teaching, and so I encourage you to come and be a part of that regularly scheduled Wednesday night service. I do realize the fair is in town, but there's many opportunities to go to the fair, so we'd hope that you make it a priority to be in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. As we continue in our study, The Biggest Little Words, talking about how our responses to little words make such a big difference, I encourage you to come and be a part of that. If you have your Bibles, and you'd be so kind to open them with me and turn in them to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Everybody say better things. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Things that are alongside, things that are a part of, if you will, things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Everybody say work. And labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Can I paraphrase? It's our desire that you just keep on keeping on. Our hope is that you're fully assured that this thing will take you all the way to the end. That you be not slothful, but I say lazy. That you be not lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. This passage of Scripture, just these four verses, the writer of Hebrews is cluing us in, letting us know essentially what it takes to do a work for God. What it's going to take for you and I to work for the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in doing a work for the Lord. I realize we have jobs, we have occupations, we do a work for a business, or maybe we're self-employed, so we're doing work for ourselves, we're doing work to put food on the table, we're doing work to provide and sustain and do all those things that we are obligated, if you will, to do, and our sense of accountability and responsibility. But if there's something that I want to truly work at, it is for the kingdom of God. I want to do a work for the kingdom of God. So with the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you on this Labor Day weekend what it takes to do a work for God. What it takes to do a work for God. Let me just say this before I allow you to be seated. Many times people say religion is for the weak. I beg to disagree. To follow the precepts and the principles of God takes strength. It's easy just to coast and flow the way of the world and just allow them to push us and sway us about. What it takes is it takes strength. It takes one's steadfastness. It takes someone who is willing to swim upstream, if you will. I dare say religion is not for the weak, it's for the strong. It's for those who will make up in their minds, I will not go the way of this world. I will endeavor to do a work for the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is not of this world. What it takes to do a work for God. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for those faithful who have gathered together on this Labor Day weekend to celebrate God. To give you applause, God, to appreciate your goodness. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do. God, let our lives, God, exemplify and show our appreciation in how we live and what we do. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus, in your precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. As believers, we should desire to do a work for God. It should be a part of our spiritual makeup. If we are, and we should be, endowed with the Spirit of God, then we should endeavor to do in our daily lives those things which show a desire to work for God. In other words, as the Bible encourages us that we are to walk even as He walks, that we are to do the things that He did, that He is our example, that the life that He lived, and though He lived it to perfection and we are not able to do that, we can strive for it. We can press toward the mark. We can endeavor to work for the kingdom as He worked for the kingdom. We can endeavor to pattern our lives in such a way that we show to the world in which we live that our calling is not for our occupation in the sense of a secular sense, but our calling is for a higher call. Our job, if you will, is to do something that lives beyond us. Something that we don't, in essence, retire from until we ultimately retire. Something we do on a daily basis that endeavors to show the world around about us that I have a desire to do a work for the kingdom of God. I want to see change implemented in society, and so I must start with me and endeavoring to change my life through the power of the Holy Ghost in such a way that I give forth the goodness that God has given unto me. That I extend unto others those things that God has extended unto me, the grace and the mercy and the love and all those attributes of God that He has given unto me through His Spirit. I endeavor in my life to exemplify and to express and to give to others in this life that I live. I want to do a work for God. I draw your attention to verse number 9 of our text where we read. It says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." Now make no mistake, I firmly believe, and the word says so, that salvation is not by works. We are not saved by works. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. But the Bible also says that there are things which accompany salvation. There are things that are a part of my being saved. In other words, the works in my life, the things that I do, those attributes that I seek and endeavor to express in my life are as a result of me being saved. Salvation is not the result of my works, but my works should be the results of my salvation. I don't do what I do to be saved. I've said this many times. I do what I do because I am saved. I live this life and I endeavor to shine forth as a light in darkness. I endeavor to be a city that is set upon a hill which cannot be hid because He has saved me. And in a show of appreciation, in a desire to express my gratitude to Him, I endeavor to live my life according to the principles and precepts of His Word, showing Him in my daily life that I am endeavoring to work for Him. I understand how many times you talk about work, that's an ugly word. I mean, amen. It'd be great if we were on a permanent vacation and there was no such thing as work anymore. And one day there will be. But right now in this life, I am created, the Bible said, to good works. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So while I am walking upon this earth and while there is still breath in my body in a natural physical sense, it is my job. Oh man, I'm really going to be popular after this. It is my job to walk in the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. As a child of God, as a workman of God, I need to know what my job description is. What am I supposed to do, Jesus? Folks, that's why we got a manual. That's why we have a Bible. It only makes sense. Why would I endeavor to do something without understanding what it is I should be doing? Why would I endeavor to live for God without understanding what it takes to live for God? And yet we have scores of people who the only time they break open their Bible is when they come to church, if they even bring their Bible to church. And then they wonder, well, and they convince themselves, well, I'm doing a work for God. Well, how do you know? How do you know? What is your job description? How do you know that what you're doing is in accordance with the Word of God? Well, the only way to know is to thus read the manual, to read the Word of God, to endeavor to apply those principles in my life, that those works that should accompany salvation, those things that are a part of who I am as a being upon this earth, are being shown forth as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For a workwoman. Work person. Somebody who is working in their person to exemplify the Word of God. To be an epistle, the Bible says, seen and read of all men, to show in my daily life that my call to a kingdom that is much higher than this earthly kingdom, that my desire to do a work for the things of God should supersede everything else in my life. I realize I have to work. I realize I have to have an occupation. Here's the thing. When it comes to doing a work for God, when it comes to endeavoring to pattern your life according to the precepts and the Word of God, it takes some things. It takes some attributes that, let's just face it, do not come naturally. A good work ethic does not come naturally. Laziness, slothfulness comes naturally. Anybody can be lazy. Anybody can be slothful. Man, it's getting tight. It takes somebody with some gusto. It takes somebody with some spiritual aptitude. It takes somebody with a willingness to work. Because anybody can just come and sit on a pew. But it takes somebody who is willing to put forth the effort. Why do we? Let's, from a secular sense, why do we go to work? Paycheck for compensation. How many of you would continue to go to work if they told you, hey, we're not paying you anymore? Okay, not a problem. I'll just show up. But no, we understand that because of my work, there's compensation. There's an expectation that at the end of the week, when I turn in my hours or whatever the situation is, punch in, punch out, whatever, there's an expectation that I will get maybe a direct deposit into my account, or I will get a paper check with my name on it that compensates me, though lower than expectations it may be, compensates me for my work. Now look at what he says in verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Folks, I am not going to do a work for God and then at the end, him say, hey, thanks, appreciate that. He is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. Just as in a secular sense, we believe our boss is going to pay us or the corporation we work for is going to cut us a check. Should it not also be the same in the spirit that I am working for God because I believe there is great recompense of reward? That he will not forget. He is not unrighteous. Why is it that we can believe in a boss or in a corporation that can provide for us and can give to us compensation for our work? Can we not also believe that there is a God who is greater than any boss? He's even better to us than our own father would be. And he provides unto us. He gives unto us because of our work. Kind of funny, I hope my kids are not embarrassed, but I had a little talk with them last night. Sometimes we have those family meetings. And the gist of what I said is this. I said, guys, I said, your mom and I, we do our best to provide a great life for you. We really do. We go out of our way to make sure we are considering you guys. And we want you guys to enjoy life. And we want you to know that you're blessed. There's many times we go out of our way and we make sure that you guys are getting special stuff. And then not 5 minutes afterwards, you're fighting and we ask you to stop and you continue. I said, don't you understand that at some point in time, you've got to show us some respect and appreciation for the lives that we provide for you. And the way you do that is by being obedient. And the way that you do that is endeavoring to do things that are pleasing to us. Helped me. Here I am rationalizing with a 10, a 9, and a 6-year-old, or 12, 9, and 6-year-old. Trying. And I got to think that our Heavenly Father is somewhat in the same way. He's scratching his head.
Do I not give to you? Do I not provide? Do I not give you so much? I'm not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to just say, hey, thanks for all you do for me and not do it. God does so much more for us than we could ever do for him. What God provides, his goodness towards us, Brother Davis, is beyond our imagination. I don't care how good you can imagine God to be, he's better than that. I don't care how great your conception or your perception of him and his provision for you is, it's greater. So I'm going to work. I believe there is recompense for the reward. I believe my faith says. How does my faith talk? How does my faith show? By my works. I'll show you my faith by my works. I do what I do because I believe there is reward for what I do. I do what I do and I live how I live because I understand the end result is better. Really doing a work for God, it takes faith. You truly have to believe that what you're doing is not just tradition, it's not just ritualism, it's not just going through the motions, it's not just obeying pastor, but it is good for me. And the reward that I get as a result of doing the work of God, I will be compensated. Jesus said, those that have done good unto the resurrection of life. That's what he said. There is goodness. Not only is he good to me here. Not only does he bless me in ways I do not understand. Not only does he provide for me in ways that I never see. Not only does he block. And not only does he hold things at bay that would try to come against me. There's so much going on in the spirit realm that I'm not even aware of. That I don't even understand that he's guarding and that he's blocking. Not only is he good to me in this life because of my service for him. He's going to be so good to me in the life to come. But here's the thing. It is work. It's work. The Bible says it's a labor of love. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. We've got to get away from the notion that love is an emotion. Or that love is a feeling. No. Love is discipline. And love is work. If a marriage is going to work, you got to work at it. It's a labor of love. I feel like I've been in the labor camp. Y'all laughing. I'm not saying that about me. Let's get that straight. But here's the thing. When it comes to our relationship with God, and we're doing it out of obligation, where's the love in that? Just stay with me. Well, I would say there is some love. I would say there is some love in obligation because love is not a feeling. Love is a discipline. Love is I'm doing the work, and there are some things that I don't want to do. I'm probably going to preach this sometime, but one of T.F. Tenney's Tenneyisms, one of those little quips that he would say every now and then. One of them was this: Life is not about what you want to do. Life is about what you ought to do. I thought to myself, how true is that? Because when it comes to making a relationship work, when it comes to a marriage, when it comes to even a relationship in the workplace, or it takes work. You got to work at it. You got to spend the effort. You got to spend the time. You got to expend the resources. You often have to do what you ought to do, not what you want to do. The beautiful thing is, in relation to God, is that what I get in return, is so wonderful. What I get in return in regard to my labor of love and my endeavoring to pattern my life according to the precepts of the Word of God, the recompense of reward that I receive as a result of living that life far exceeds. I know you say, well, yeah, it far exceeds. How does it far exceed? Well, in this life, sometimes it is hard to see. In this time, in this life, that's why it takes faith. Because if you could see it, why then would you hope for it? Look at what it goes on to say. Look at what the passage goes on to say after he said, listen, God's not, he's not forgetful. He's not unrighteous towards you for your labor of love that you've showed toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let me just stop right here and say this. Do you know what the greatest show of your faith is? The greatest appreciation and praise that you can offer? It's not coming in here and clapping your hands. It's not coming here and lifting your hands and lifting your voice. That's all well and good. I'm not demeaning that. But that's not the greatest show of appreciation and praise. The greatest show of appreciation and praise that my kids can give me as a result of the father and child relationship is not to tell me stuff. It's to show me. It's not to tell. Many times I got to tell them, I'm sorry, Dad. Well, if you were really sorry, you would change. Just to say it is one thing. But it's like the parable that Jesus had. A man had two sons, and he came to one son and said, hey, go work in my field. And the son said, no, I ain't going to do it. But he went and did it. The other son, he went and said, hey, go work in my field. And the son said, okay, on my way. Never did it. Which one then did the will of his father? What I do. And so my greatest show of appreciation and my greatest display of faith is my work for the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. The greatest show, the greatest appreciation that I can give for God and his goodness towards me is how I live my everyday life. Let my life's song sing your praise. Let what I do on a daily basis show you that I appreciate your goodness toward me. Let my work and labor of love that I know is not going to be forgotten because I've got faith. I show you my faith by my works. So doing a work for God takes faith, and doing a work for God takes love. Takes discipline. Takes commitment. And he goes on to say, verse number 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. It takes faith, it takes love, and it takes perseverance and diligence. That I keep doing it, even when it's not so conducive, that I keep doing it, just because I know it's right, and I know there's great recompense for reward, and I know that the end result of what I do far exceeds any sacrifice that I have to make in this present time. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I just got to believe, and that faith that I have keeps me working towards that end. That faith that I have keeps me pressing toward that mark. It keeps me displaying love as a discipline. I keep doing what I know I should be doing, even when I don't feel it, even when the emotion's not there. I just keep doing it because I know that God's going to recompense. I know that God's going to give me because of what I do. And so I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep believing to the end. I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to keep pressing toward the mark. I'm going to keep doing it. Why? Because doing a work for God takes faith, it takes love, and it takes diligence and perseverance. It takes a lot. That's why anybody attempting to do it on their own is foolhardy. I have to be empowered There has to be something that is given unto me. There has to be. I got to be able to tap into a source outside myself, because being able to continue to be faithful and being able to continue to be loving and being able to continue to be diligent and persevere, it's just not in me of myself. It's got to come from another source. That's why I got to build myself up praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why I got to tap into the Spirit of God. That's why I got to pray and read my Bible and do my daily devotion. Why? Because it empowers me. Gives me the strength that I don't end up like verse 12. Slothful. That you be not slothful. That you don't be lazy. It takes faith. It takes love. It takes perseverance and diligence. And all those things you got to work at. You got to have a good work ethic. Laziness is a good way to lose out with God. And laziness is easy. Slothfulness doesn't take much heart. Anybody can be a spiritual couch potato. Those who are willing to work, those who are willing to put forth the effort, those who are willing to participate in the labor of love, those who are willing to say, I know it's going to take a lot. It's going to take faith, and it's going to take love, and it's going to take perseverance, and it's going to take diligence, and I can't be lazy. I got to work at it. How? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm going to empower you through my Spirit to do the work that needs to be done. So the way that you and I do a work for God is through His Spirit. We have faith. We have love. We persevere. We're diligent in our efforts. And we work at it. Sometimes, I should be honest, sometimes come into church and it's like I'm punching the clock. I'm here. Here to do my duty. Here to do what I know I should be doing. We don't want to nod our heads, even though we know that's the case sometimes. Feels like work, doesn't it? Do you believe that there's a paycheck? Do you believe that you are being benefited? Do you believe that you are being compensated for your effort? I tell you how we know. By their fruit you shall know them. I tell you how I know whether or not someone believes that they are being compensated for their work. How hard they work at it. I'm coming to a close. Everybody say amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 37. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Closing, you can stand to your feet. What it takes to do a work for God: faith, love, perseverance, diligence, good work ethic, and patience. Pastor, it seems like I work and work and work, and I don't get the promotion. I do this, I do that, I sacrifice and put up my time, I even do overtime, I even go beyond what's expected of me.
Let me ask you this. In a purely secular sense, how good do you think a company would run if all of its employees decided, I'm going to go above and beyond the call of duty? How many of us, if and maybe you are, but if we owned our own business, how many of us would want and think it would be a great thing for all of our employees to tell us, hey, boss, we're just going to keep working. We're just going to keep striving. We're going to go above and beyond. I know you wanted only this much done today, but we're going to do that and more. What do you think the boss is going to do? When it comes bonus time, what do you think the boss is going to do? But in a heavenly sense, how great would the kingdom of God operate if all of us as its participants and as its workers decided, I'm going to go above and beyond the call of duty? Oh, man, I'm already here, so I'm just going to go for it. Do you know why, as a church, many times as pastoring and ministry, you want to know why we oftentimes set marks of achievement or say you should give this much in the sense of your time and your talent and your treasure? You know why we say that? You know why we put those lines of demarcation? Now here it is. Reality. Because many times people won't seek to excel for themselves. Try to set lines and set goals and set marks of achievement to motivate people, to get people to give of themselves. What would it be like if we didn't have to do that, if people just decided I'm going to go above and beyond? I'm just going to give more myself to the kingdom of God, because I believe there's great recompense of reward. I'm not going to cast away, therefore, my confidence. It may not come tomorrow, it may not come the next day, but I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep diligent. And I'm going to keep persevering. And I'm going to keep working. I'm going to be patient. In time, I know there's great recompense for reward. Listen, you can try to reward yourself with all your pursuits and all your desires to fulfill all your wants. Or you can say, Lord, you know me better than I know myself, and you know what's best for me. And so I want to work for you. Those things of the world do the Gentiles seek after. All those things, those aspirations, those longings, desires the world seeks after. They desire, they press towards. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Things that so many people work for and strive for in life, they seek to have. God said they're just going to be the product of your perseverance. They're just going to be the product of your seeking first the kingdom of God. What it takes to do a work for God: faith, love, perseverance, diligence, work ethic, and patience. Lord, I want to do a work for you. Sometimes I don't see the immediate results that I want. So many times the validation that I look for, and the scene that surrounds my life, I'm disappointed, God. I'm just going to be honest with you. I got to keep believing. I got to keep believing. I've got to let faith rule the day. For the just shall live by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I can't look at the situation that surrounds my life and base my future upon that. I've got to place my future in your hands and just keep working, God. what it takes to do a work for you. It's what it takes to do a work of God in your family. It's what it takes to do a work for God at your place of employment. It's what it takes to do a work for God in your local assembly. It's all the same. Faith and love and diligence and perseverance and a good work ethic and patience. It's going to come to pass. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. These altars are open. Lord, if I don't have what it takes to do a work for You, Lord, I need it. Teach me.
Can You
teach me?
Give myself away.
These things don't come naturally, God. I'm not going to get them from outside sources to do a work for Your kingdom. It's not going to come by seminars in a secular sense. It's not going to come by mentors of men, God. It's going to come by being led of Your Spirit. It's going to become part of me by my interaction with Your power and Your presence.
So You can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in
I'm not going to tickle your ears. It's not going to be easy.
Lord,
but it's going to be worth it. It's the road less traveled. It's the straight and narrow way.
I give myself away. I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away.
What it takes to do a work of God. It's what it takes to make a difference, to leave a legacy behind. If the Lord tarries and it's all said and done and they look back over my life, can they say, He did a work for God?
All my dreams, all my plans.
He built an altar, He built a memorial for His family.
I give myself to You. on my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself away.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Opportunity to preach this precious word. It's a wonderful people. We all, myself included, can work harder for you. And we can all put our hand to the plow, not look back, press toward the mark, endeavor to do more today than I did yesterday. Do so in a heart of faith, believing, trusting in you. You reward. One more time, can we lift our hands, lift our voices? I will thankful for your word to be challenged, God. I know sometimes it feels like I do it because I have to do it, Lord, but I want to get over that, Lord. I want to get to a place where I'm doing it because I recognize there's great recompense for reward. A display of my faith and how much I appreciate and love, God, what you've done for me. So I work for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we applaud the Lord for his goodness. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for challenging us in spirit, God. Let's go forth doing a work for you. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ. If you've kept up with your Bible reading, we have bread up front for you. Forgot